Welcome to the Circuit of Success Podcast.
The Circuit of Success Podcast.
With your host,
Brett Gilliland.
Brett Gilliland, Visionary Wealth Advisory.
The Circuit of Success Podcast. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Circuit of Success. I'm your host, Brett Gilliland, and today I've got Michigan soccer player Michael Leon with me. Michael, how we doing, man?
I'm good. I'm amazing. I'm happy to be here, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely. How's the Michigan soccer team and Michigan football team? I mean, you guys got a big month coming up here, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's from Michigan Athletics. We are rooting for the Michigan football team. Obviously, it just brings a big name on us. And I think for the first time, I think for the past few years I've been here, the team has gotten better and better. And this year, like, I think beating Alabama is going to change a lot of the history of the football and actually athletics in general.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys will be tuned into that one, man. I think everybody will be. That's going to be a big game. Created a little controversy there, didn't they? Alabama getting in there over Florida State. Man, people were fired up.
I'm obviously I'm from Ghana, so I was never a big football guy, but I think, like, I've been paying attention lately, and I think I did see that Florida didn't lose a game and they won their conference, but I was surprised they didn't make it. So I think there's a controversy there, but I think as a Michigan fan, we are against everybody, so I don't really care.
Got Jim Harbaugh back in the seat. We're ready to rock.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, you I thought this was really cool. You reached out to me. You saw Josh Yarrow from the MLS team here in St. Louis on the podcast. You guys grew up playing in the same club as a kid, right? And saw him. And what I loved about you is just reaching out to me, man. Here it is, this college student playing some soccer at Michigan. And, you know, there's a bigger meaning, a bigger purpose, a bigger passion for life. And that's what I was attracted to say, man, we got to get this guy on. Then he's reaching out and saying that this guy's going places. And I thought that was really cool, man. So hats off to you and thanks for doing that. And so now here we are. And like I start every podcast with, Michael, is what's helped make you the man you are today?
I think for me, it's honestly just the journey I've been on since I was 11. I left home when I was 11 and going to the academy, right, to dream. I think it shaped me into the kind of man I am, where soccer is bigger than just the sport. And I know everybody hears this a lot, but it's what makes me. And I've been in the academy for like 4 to 5 years. I ended up learning that, like, success is not really success if it doesn't involve a communal benefit. And so my whole time going to Hotchkiss and coming to Michigan and playing, I think ideally everything I'm trying to achieve on and off the field, I want to attribute to the community, because if my community is winning or everybody around me is winning, then I can truly sit down and be like, okay, we're doing the right thing. So in simple words, what makes me is my community. And, like, I think my connection with them, it makes me who I am, and it gives me a purpose to be able to keep chasing my dreams in the classroom and on the field too.
Yeah. So talk about that. I mean, I think I have a 9, 13, 16, and 18-year-old boys and all play soccer. But man, to leave home at 11 years old, you go to this academy, like, what was that like, and how far were you away from, you know, home and all that?
I think it was hard. I think it was mainly hard on my mom. It was like 3 to 4 hours away from home, and it's still not an easy drive to come up there. And I made a decision by myself at that age because I think I wanted something better for myself. And as a kid in Ghana, the best place to be able to nurture talent and to go places is to go in the academy. And Right to Dream was one of the best places to be. But making that decision at that age, I knew I could barely do my own laundry. But I did go try out. And my dad was in favor of my mom. Moms are super hard sometimes because it's like, my little baby's going to leave home. I remember one time being in the academy, I think almost at the end of my trial, she did the trip herself, and I was in the classroom one, and I could see her yelling and screaming, I'm taking my kid home, you know? And at that time, I didn't understand why, but now getting older, I can see why she was very hesitant. But all in all, she trusted in my gut and my willingness to be able to go for something beyond just, like, people who come from where I come from achieve, you know? So I think at the back of my head, I wanted more. And in order to do that, I had to step outside my comfort zone, which was spending time with my family and being in my small town in the city, and to go somewhere.
Yeah. And what did you learn from mom and dad about community? For a guy your age to already be caring about that says a lot about, I think, your upbringing and the value system they put in you.
I think my mom is heavily into the community service. She's always bringing people in and trying to help other people. We're not from the most we're not from the most wealthiest family, but at the same time, like, having, my mom always said this quote to me, she's like, whoever has little and gives you is the same person who will give you more when they have more. And so that's a quote that's always been with me growing up. But at the same time, to go in the academy, it's soccer, it's school, but at the same time, to character program is a big part of it. And one of the biggest traits that they always try to instill in us was giving back. And I was very fond around those stuff. I was one of the few guys planning give back projects and stuff. So at the age of 11, it was just instilled in me trying to make sure, like, differences were made in people's life, not necessarily in a materialistic way, but also being able to put a smile on somebody else's face. I think it always lit a spark in me, and it's been a part of me since, you know, so.
Yeah. So talk about, you know, for the parents that are listening out there, man, that want to get their kids to go to the next level. And obviously you're playing at a very, very high level for Michigan and Big Ten soccer and all that. So what advice would you have for the student that's really getting into soccer right now and wants to get better? What did you do to take things to the next level?
I think I will use myself as an example. I think for me, like, you need to focus on your own journey. And every, like, going to the academy, I think I have guys on my team when we're 12, 13 that are playing for West Ham or, like, playing the Champions League. But, yes, wow. I'm in America, but, like, I'm playing at a high level too. And I think, like, tuning in, my advice is tuning in on your journey and making sure every single day you're doing something to chip away at your dreams and getting better. I think when I lift every single time today, like, I write on a 1% better. I think once you start focusing on what you can do every single day to do better, they add up and eventually you get to where you want to go. The moment you start looking to the sides, trying to compare and trying to make moves because the next person next to you is having a fast trajectory or doing well than you, doesn't mean it's the same journey, you know. So my biggest advice is parents need to trust their kids and make sure they give them the best opportunity to be able to grow every single day, and to remind them that it's your journey and to tune into what makes you better every single day, because slow motion is better than no motion. I think, yeah.
I love that. Slow motion is better than no motion, and I love that focus on your journey, not somebody else's journey. So I think the expectations are high as well if you go to an academy like that. So you're saying, you know, the Premier League, right, to my understanding, is the greatest, you know, league and all of the world of soccer,
right.
And so if you have that, you were growing up, what you're saying is you're growing up playing with kids like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Expectations are high.
It is crazy. It's hard because, like, for right now I'm playing at Michigan, and sometimes, like, we watch games in the Premier League and we watch Kudus or we watch Brighton, and one of those guys are playing there, and then they'd be like, yo, did you know this guy? I was like, yeah, we grew up playing at the same time. But at the same time, again, the same advice I just gave, it's so much harder to start thinking so far ahead, oh my god, should I be here or here? But again, it's like, breathe. I go to University of Michigan, I'm playing here, and they, again, it's about longevity, and it's about being the best you can possibly be for yourself, because you never know where your journey is going to take you. Your career could end early, or yours could also hit a progress where it will last longer in the league. So it's always trying to remind myself that it's my journey, and so far as I'm making decisions to be able to grow every single day, I think is the most important part. Yeah.
Good head on your shoulders, my man. So if we have a magic, this is the magic pen and paper sitting here, right here. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the career? What's Michael Leon's plan in the future? Where's he going?
I actually did have this conversation with Joshua a few weeks ago, and I think, and I said a similar thing in one of the article that came out in Detroit papers, and then they asked me the same question, and I think the first thing I said was, there's a video of me when I was 11, and they asked me, what do you want to do? And then recently they sent it to me, and I was surprised. I said I want to go to high school in America, get a degree, and sign for professional football. And I forgot I did say that. So I think ideally I'm exactly where I need to be in my life. And sometimes, like I said, it's so hard to want to move forward fast, but I'm exactly where God wants me to be. The next step is finishing my degree and signing for a pro contract. But at the same time, for me, it's beyond soccer, and it's about fulfilling my purpose. And my purpose is to constantly put my community on the map and to create opportunities for people less fortunate than myself. And I believe that, like, in order to achieve this purpose, my platform needs to get bigger. And so what's the next stage for me is to sign in pro, and then the more signing pro to the next level and give myself the bigger platform, because the bigger the platform, the more change we can make in the community and for myself too. Yeah. So in simple terms, it's just keep growing in my sport and then putting the degree in the back pocket, and also making sure I build enough platform for myself to be able to make the change we want.
I love that.
Yeah.
So is it football or soccer?
How are we going to do this argument here? I would say football, you know. I would say football.
That's how you grew up saying it, right?
Yeah. We said football for so. I think when I came to high school in America, it was so much harder, like hearing saying football. And somebody said, you mean soccer? And I think I felt the sport being degraded so much because it's like football. And then football in America is pretty much one of the biggest sport here. It is the biggest sport. So it's like putting soccer below it. It was so much harder. But yeah, we say football. team football any day.
But football, your football is the biggest sport in the world, right?
In the world, yeah.
Yeah, in the world. Yeah. So maybe we should say it's football.
We should. I will sign a petition for that, you know.
All right, we'll start it. You start the petition, and I'll sign it, and we'll get it going. Fair. They did have a good potato chip commercial at the Super Bowl, I think it was.
I did see that.
That was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Talk about the Puma partnership and what you all did for your community back home.
Yeah, so basically I lost last season because I picked up an injury very early in the season and I missed the whole season. And then I think I lost myself for a bit because it's like I was just going through the motion. I was just sitting by the sidelines. And I know it's easy. People say when you get hurt, support your team. Yes, I was supporting my team, but at the same time, feeling like not being a part of it was so much harder for me, you know. I started getting in my head thinking, my dreams are gone, you know. And I sat down and I reflected and I was like, I need to find myself again. And in order to find myself, like I had to go back to what brings me that spark in life. And that was what giving back, like we spoke about earlier. And so I had a conversation with a few people in Michigan and they referred to me to the Tough organization. And shout out to Tough. These guys are doing an amazing job. They just raise funds and be able to provide uniforms for underprivileged athletes. So we spoke and I said, hey, I have the perfect idea for you. Like, I want to give back. I want to do something like this to my community. This is what's going to entail. And I think initially they were also looking to do their first international athlete-based project. And so I was like, I'll take you home. I'll make myself vulnerable enough to be able to show you where we come from, what shapes who I am, you know. And so we spoke about it and we designed 100 jerseys for 100 kids with Puma. And they flew down with me in May after I got back from Vietnam. And then these guys came, I brought them to my home. I showed them where we started playing. And it was an unbelievable event where we just donated 100 jerseys to 100 kids. And I think for them, it was just incredible. And for me too, to see how much of a difference giving a brand new jersey to a kid somewhere in Accra, Ghana, can make them feel like they want to keep pushing and to keep chasing their dreams. And I think that's all we strive for. That's what I personally strive for. Seeing that sudden change in their face and passion, it's incredible, you know. So I think it all stemmed from the fact that I wanted to do something again that sparked me, or something that made me feel like we are still on the journey and trying to make a change for ourselves and for our community. And that's where it got inspired from, yeah.
That's great. So talk about a typical day for you. Like, what's a Big Ten soccer player during the season? What's that day like?
Ooh. Okay. So you want to do a training day or a game day?
Let's do both. We'll start with the training day. You got to train, obviously, to get ready for the games.
Okay. So this year was a little different because they put some trainings in the morning. But a typical day for us, it's. So this is in the locker room, it says 24/7. So you got to be all week. It's all about soccer, or like even when you're in a classroom, you're thinking about the next thing. So I wake up in the morning enough to get a breakfast. And my usual breakfast is oat milk cooked in lactate milk and then cinnamon in it and chopped banana in it. Have the breakfast, head to class, make sure I'm drinking enough water because our season's usually in August, September, so it's still pretty hot. Stay hydrated. Drink water.
You add salt to your water?
Yes, you put salt a little bit in it, or like the Gatorade electrolytes in it.
Yeah,
they help.
Okay. Yep.
Go to classes my whole day. I think I this year I had classes until 1, and I'm in classes, two classes, three classes until one. After that, I get back because I know training is at three. And for me, like dealing with injuries in the past, I try to do preventative stuff. So I head to the building around like 1:32 where I start my pre-activations, hot tub to get the body loose, do my rehab stuff from the past to just get my body warmed a little bit, some band stuff. And then I head onto the field around 3 and also start like touching the ball with the players. And training starts at 3:30. Right after 3:30, we train till like 6. Sometimes it goes into like 6:30. And then we all take a shower in the locker room, dance a little bit, laugh, grab meals from the fueling station, like a quick snack. And we have team dinner at Yoast around 7, 7:15. You can't be late. Either you pick up or you sit with the team. And in season, because we're getting closer, we sit together in the hockey rink where we eat. They provide food for us. And then right after that, head home around 8, 8:15, relax a little bit. I can't relax for too long because I have to start doing my homework. And at 9, I start doing some homework until 10, 10:30. Take a shower, do my face routine, my night routine. And then I journal and I read at night. My book's sitting right there. And then go to sleep, and then it's a cycle. So it's usually like just like back and forth, but you got to stay locked in, and everything you're doing needs to be able to keep you locked in for like either the upcoming game, which is either on the Wednesday or on the Saturday, you know. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty tight schedule, man.
It is.
Yeah.
But
So,
again,
and so that's always, so the team dinner, so food's provided for all the athletes, right?
Yeah. Food is provided, which is what Michigan does an amazing job with. Trying to, we have the best nutritionist. She's called Caroline. She will sit down and make sure obviously everybody's body weight is different. So she tries to make sure like you're getting as much food or the right nutrients in your body to be able to fuel you in class so you can focus by the same time to come out to the field and perform at your best and make sure you're not losing too much weight, but you're also strong enough to be able to play in the games coming, you know, because the games are very rigorous and back and forth.
Yeah. It's crazy. So does she meet with every single athlete, or is there like a whole team of people that do that?
No, so it's just, she meets with everybody. So before the season starts, they do this Dexa testing where they put us in a machine, and then it basically you come out with how much water is in your body, how much muscle you have, which side of your body weighs more, and then she knows, okay, this is how you start, and then she talks about how much you need to be able to last, how much food you need. So right now, like I said, I have a stress fracture on my heel, and then my last meeting was last week, so I'm taking supplements to be able to help me heal faster, but I'm also eating right to be able to get the right calcium and vitamin D in my body. So it's stuff like that. It's very personalized, but she makes time. They make time for every single athlete. So you always top notch.
Awesome, man. Well, so talk a little bit more about the Michael Leon project. You got the documentary that's on YouTube. Talk about that.
It was the first time I'd been on camera literally straight 3 days, you know. And it was incredible because it's like I haven't been home for like a whole year, so it was nice to go home, but at the same time too, it was the moment to like, oh hey, I'm on camera, I'm mic'd up, you know, and my friends want to come over, they come over, but also it was about capturing the true moment of what my life looks like at home, because truly, like, I'm from a small town where like everybody, even the kids, believe I'm this neighborhood hero, but I'm like, I'm still in college, you know, and I don't think I've achieved half of the things I want to do. But it's beautiful to see that these little kids come up and be like, I want to be like you, or they do have an expectation of what they want to be, you know, their pathway. And I want to be that kind of role model where they can believe you can do anything regardless of like what is handed to you coming from a small town like we come from, you know. So it was... A camera crew flew down with me to Ghana in May, and then they basically captured moments from home. The project was the big day, giving away the gifts, the jerseys, and then we organized a tournament for 10 minutes each, and then there was a winner, and then we gave a trophy. The team, we took pictures with the whole team. I gave a little speech. Everybody came out. My whole family came out. The community came out. I think one of my favorite moments was, like I said, like I haven't been home in such a, I barely go home. I go home yearly. And it was still amazing to see. There was a moment where a bunch of kids were standing in the corner and you can hear them screaming, "Michael, Michael," you know. And for me, it still gives me chills, you know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, like these kids really look up to me for something that I think I'm just doing because it is who I am, you know. But at the same time too, you barely know how much difference you're making in a kid's life, you know, by the little changes you make. So the Mike Leon project is not done yet. I think moving forward, I think the next thing is we're working on like the boots for the boys, where we're trying to like custom my new cleats for the kids. Because I think at the project, one thing I noticed with the top guys is some of them were wearing like left and right of different cleats or beat up cleats. And I think I don't want it to be a one and done thing where, okay, we did the Mike Leon project of just for the jerseys and it's done. It's something I want to keep going and hopefully make it like a docu-series where it's like, the first one was the series of the documentary, and the second one was series two of the documentary. That I think is going to continue to promote where we're from and to continue to put these kids, the community on the map, and to keep inspiring people, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love it, man. I love it. And again, I just, you know, I want to connect and have this podcast when you reached out, because it's, you know, the attitude, your actions, your beliefs ultimately get the results that you want to have in your life. And that's what we talk about in the circuit of success all the time. And I think that's it, right? I mean, your attitude, great positive attitude. So for people listening, right, focus on that attitude. Focus on your belief system. Believe in what you want to do and then give it hell, right? Give it everything you got to go out and take it and then take action. And that's what you're doing, man. And that will ultimately get the results in your life. So where do our listeners find more of Michael Leon?
Before I answer that question, you know, like I have this amazing support system in America. You know, when I moved to America, I went to high school in Hotchkiss, like it's a boarding school in Connecticut, and I had the opportunity to meet a host family. I don't even call them my host family anymore because I've been with them for like 6 years, you know. But they're amazing to me. I think especially my host mom, she makes me feel like she makes me believe I can be whoever I want to be and to dream every single day. And so shout out to them. And again, it is part of the journey and a story I want to tell some later in my time. You know, it's about believing other people and embracing them and to giving them a home. And the thing is beyond just humanity, you know. Finding more of Michael Leon, I think I have a big season coming up. My senior year, obviously hoping to have a breakout season and hopefully win a ring, knock on wood, win a ring with my team right now. I think Michigan last year was hard for us. We did have a better season this year, and we're on the climb up of being one of the best teams in the Big Ten. Hopefully win a ring next year, go into the NCAA, and once that happens, get drafted. And so people should tune in to the Michael Leon, the Instagram, more videos coming up. Next year, doing a project again, hopefully tune into the series two of the Michael Leon project, and just hopefully like make sure our dreams or our path to going pro, to be able to build a bigger platform ourselves, is still intact, to be able to make changes in our life, in people's lives back at home and even here, you know. So
That's awesome, man. Well, it's so good to have you on the Circuit of Success, Michael. Great connecting with you. You definitely will have four fans at my house. My boys, they love soccer, so they'll be following you, and you got a fan of me, man. So thanks for being on the Circuit of Success.
And I wanted to add, so I know your son, how's he doing with his wrist?
Yeah, he's doing all right. It ended up not being broken like we thought. Okay. So yeah, crazy soccer kick, you know. So
whenever he wants to come see a game next season, you guys can come up whenever. I leave tickets. I'll host you guys, and it'll be amazing. And I appreciate you having me on this podcast. And hopefully we can keep being in touch in each other's journey and stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, hang tight here while I hit finish, and it's great having you, man.
Thank you.